My guest today is not Barton Fink, who I believe was a fictitious character in a movie, and he has nothing to do with Merrill Lynch, but his name is Bart Merrill. He has two first names. He's been on the program a couple of times before. He's an attorney. He deals with construction, business, and real estate law in Santa Barbara. He was on a year ago or so. We talked a little bit about contractors and insurance companies in relation to the Montecito debris flow. But over the years, he's dealt with construction defects, mechanics liens, lawsuits. And welcome back to Radio Real Estate, the man with two first names, Bart Merrill.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Boy, you sound great.
Yeah, I'm not out in the wind like I was the last time we got together.
Yeah, I felt like I was interviewing, who's that, the TV reporter that's always in the wind. He uncovered King Tut's tomb. Nothing was there.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but no, I'm not him, and I'm not there.
Geraldo Rivera. I felt like I was interviewing Geraldo Rivera. You were like wind whistling. And so we have discussed on this program a couple of times, and a woman came on who's part of a local group, a grassroots company, and people have been complaining and concerned about what's going on in Carpinteria and the growing pot and the secondhand odor. And so you have a couple of clients that are dealing with this right now?
Yes, and I also personally live in the Carpinteria Valley and the area up in Santa Maria where the greenhouses are located. There's people up there that are up in arms about the whole process, too. And it's not just adverse smell that's really driving the train here. It's the fact that when Proposition 64 was passed in 2016, approximately 290 licenses were issued. And the problem is that there's regulations that were in place. There's just no enforcement out there to require these people to capture the odors and protect their own crops. And this is a particularly important thing to the avocado growers out here. State regulation mandates that marijuana sellers not have any pesticides or contaminants on their product, and the avocado growers are unable to spray their crop, and they're losing it to a variety of pests, and it's really quite bad for those folks. And it's also impacting the value of real estate in Carpinteria, particularly because the home values are impacted. And one of my clients raised a great example is that everybody likes donuts. Everybody likes to walk into the donut shop and smell a donut. It smells great, unless you have to live with it 24/7, 365. And then you get pretty sick of the smell of donuts. And that's pretty much where marijuana is right now. And anytime you go over the little hill that comes into Carpinteria, the old Santa Claus Lane, on any given day, you can smell it. And so it's a big issue here.
My guest, Barton Fink, he's an attorney. I'm sorry. God, I didn't do that to be funny.
I wish he was an attorney.
I didn't do that to be funny. I'm so sorry. Bart Merrill, a Santa Barbara attorney, lives in Carpinteria, brought up a good point that, you know, I kind of forgot that Santa Maria also has a lot of growers of pot. And Bart lives in Carpinteria and has some clients who are dealing with the issues, as you brought up, regulations but not being enforced. That's sad to hear. And I loved your analogy of walking into a donut shop because after smoking, that's probably what you'd want to do.
I you know, we all went to college. We all know what it smelled like going down the hallways. It wasn't offensive to those that didn't smoke. On a very limited basis. But when you live with it day to day, it can be more than you want to put up with.
And, of course, we're not talking about the smell of pot that's burning and being smoked. It's just the natural odor of raw green pot in such high amounts and concentrations. It's bizarre. You could drive down the freeway in Carp and smell. It's kind of like a skunk-like odor.
And the thing is that, you know, historically, marijuana growers would plant in the spring and reap in the fall, and there would be 1 year of crop. But there's, I believe, 290 acres of greenhouses in Carpinteria that are growing pot year-round so that it will produce year-round so they can sell it year-round. And they make a healthy profit. They're not, because of the lack of regulatory oversight, nobody knows how much marijuana is going out the door of these places. So nobody's collecting an appropriate amount of taxes. And the regulations that are in place to capture the odors, I mean, there's a specific product called the buyer's vapor phase system, which these people should have in place. Some of them do, but you can't make them turn it on. And so the odors are escaping, and people have sore throats, scratchy, get headaches, you know. And under the law, the civil code sections, it's either a private or a public nuisance, depending on who's being impacted. And when it's a community, it's a public nuisance. And when it's a individual who's getting headaches and not feeling so good, it's a private nuisance. But nobody wants to take it up because the people that are in power are making a whole, they're, you know, not them personally, but the tax dollar is coming into the county, and these people are not going to take any negative stances against the marijuana growers.
My guest is attorney Bart Merrill, out of Santa Barbara, happens to live in Carpinteria, talking about the secondhand odor of growing green raw marijuana. You said that, as an attorney, Bart, you said there's private and public nuisances. And I remember hearing once that which one is much more difficult to represent or sue on?
Well, they're both very difficult because you've got to demonstrate under the code precisely what issues are being raised here. Is this something that the entire community suffers from, or is it something that's so unique that, you know, you came to this problem yourself? You've got to prove it. You know, I mean, kind of the grosser way to really phrase this whole thing is that if we lived out here in Carpinteria and a hog farmer wanted to move in, he's going to grow bacon. He's going to grow ham. Everybody likes that. The smell of pig farms is not so sweet. And that's what we're facing here. So the guy who brings his pig farm in has created a public nuisance which can be abated in the court system, and that's probably a lot easier to perform than a private nuisance because you're going to have to show that you, Mark Schneidman, never had a chest infection or never had headaches, never got sore throats, and all of a sudden, here comes the marijuana industry, and you've got them every day.
Right.
But as much as anything else, it's just a stink that people that, you know, this is right next to the high school. And it's a big deal out here because they're growing it right next to, these people are not being regulated, their permits are expiring, nothing's happening by the politicians to control it, which is upsetting to a lot of folks, but the rogue marijuana growers are out here growing in mass amounts, and that's adversely impacting people that live here. And nobody cares. That's the issue. Because, you know, if you smoke pot, you want it. You don't care. You know, if you're not smelling it, who cares?
Well,
in your backyard.
And to, you know, to defend people who smoke pot, I'm sure plenty of them care and want to see things done properly. What really gets me, and I wasn't aware of until you told me, was that when Prop 64 was passed, and you said there are 290 licensed growers,
right.
And there are many regulations to deal with capturing the odor, and California is known, particularly Santa Barbara County, or particularly Santa Barbara, they have very stringent rules. They want to protect the architecture, and a lot of people like to complain about it. But in the end, you see a lot of good come out of it and a lot of consistency and aesthetics.
Well, just
so how is it that they're not? How is it
that, real quick?
What's that?
Statewide, 35% of the marijuana grown is grown in Santa Barbara County. Santa Barbara County consists of 1.8% of the land total. Now, this stuff all comes out of articles the LA Times published, News Hawk has published. I mean, the information's available, and the politicians know all this information, But if you go to a hearing to complain about it, it's back burner.
And
maybe,
you know,
tomorrow.
Those stats are alarming, if you will. But on the other hand, everything grows well in Santa Barbara. So, but what I was getting to is we have such legitimate regulations that make this place a wonderful place to live, even though people will complain about it. And sometimes you can say they go too far. But why is it so simple if it's just enforcing existing regulations? How can that be?
Because the people who are in charge of setting up regulatory agencies have not done so. So there is no monitoring stations that are out in, I'm speaking specifically of Carpinteria, to monitor next to these buildings what's coming out. What's going on in there? What are you people doing? We need to have somebody in the building to know how much marijuana is being grown, sold, and distributed. And then we need to know, what are you doing about the odors? And that all comes down to tax dollars. Well, that's a big issue because the marijuana industry should pay for itself, and yet they're not being taxed because the amount of marijuana going out the door is unknown. So you could estimate what a value is, and there was a really great LA Times article this last June on that issue, and you can Google it and find out the specific statistics on all this. But, you know, they're bringing in minor amounts of tax dollars compared to the amount of marijuana that's going out the door. So everybody says, well, I don't want to go pay more for the marijuana. Well, actually, if you're going to smoke it, you got to pay for it. You don't just get to have it for free. And they're not getting it for free now, but until this thing is regulated, the people, this community itself, Santa Maria as well, are going to have problems.
Okay, so you're bringing up another issue about is the proper amount of tax revenue being garnered. That's another issue. But we all agree that there's a lot of tax money there, and there's a lot of profit, and they should be able to spend the money. I know some of these products that recapture the odor, very expensive, and maybe very expensive to run. They're running on electricity. And so, you know, they should have solar powers. We had this recent state law that may or may not come into effect that new homes have to have solar panels. So you got these giant pot farms that have to be, should be enclosed and running all this electricity, should have had solar on top. But
well, to make it really concrete, I mean, this kind of came to my doorstep because I do deal almost exclusively in construction disputes. And long ago and far away, there were a number of unlicensed contractors who went out and did whatever it is they wanted to do. And if they built a place that was just not well constructed, there was nothing the homeowner could do to deal with it. So now the Contractor State License Board's in place. If you have a problem with the individual who's building your home and he's not licensed, you don't have to pay for services. And there's a criminal problems that happen for that individual. And that's what the marijuana industry needs. They need an overseer to mandate exactly what happens, start to finish. You apply for a license, and those were just handed out like candy, literally. Anybody wanted a license, you could prove that you were a farmer, here you go. And that's why there's so many of them. I mean, Carpinteria was not known for marijuana. This was the largest tulip-producing area in the country. Short of Holland, there was no other place that grew more tulips than Carpinteria. Well, those people make a lot more money growing marijuana than they do tulips.
The tulip industry in Holland was the reason why they first had that first economic downturn. I can't think of the term where, but another time. My guest, Bart Merrill, a local attorney dealing with construction disputes, contractors in Santa Barbara, is representing some clients who live in Carpinteria. He lives in Carpinteria. And the topic is basically we have regulations, we are not having enforcement, and pardon the pun, people like you are raising a big stink over this, and you would think that people would respond and go, okay, you know what, you're right, there is an odor, yeah, there's a problem, we need to have everything enclosed, and we need to put in the proper systems to eradicate the odor. So what's it going to take to make that happen?
Some change in management at the supervisor level. You know, one of the problems here in Carpinteria is that the greenhouses are all in Santa Barbara County, but they pay, the owners of those properties pay no money to the city of Carpinteria for anything. And so city of Carpinteria is burdened with the smell and all the other related issues, and we get nothing out of it. And it's just inappropriate. The person who's representing this area of the county wants his little pet projects to go through with the additional tax dollars, but thank goodness some of the other supervisors out there are saying, no, we've got those things earmarked for other things.
Well, but you can't rewind. You've got Santa Barbara County represents 1.8% of the land in California, and you're saying 35% of the pot is grown in Santa Barbara County between Santa Maria and Carpinteria in the county limits, not in the city of Carp or the city of Santa Barbara, I guess, or the city, yes, of Goleta, I'm not sure.
Or Santa Maria.
Or Santa Maria. So you can't rewind the clock. It's here. And it's, you think it's going to take a change on the Board of Supervisors for them to enforce the law? I mean, the idea, like you mentioned, a public nuisance, a private nuisance.
I do know that a substantial number of individuals in the city of Carpinteria are not pleased with the representative they have, who, you know, is generally a very liberal guy. But he has not done what these people want to have done. And all they want, just regulate this. Don't just let it run amok. They're donating a lot of money to things that he wants donated to, but we're not getting the benefit of his services. And that's, you know, I don't want a big political speech. I don't think that serves any interest here. We just want what is appropriate done.
And you feel that the technology is there, the regulations are there, and if they were enforced... Now, these pot farms, they're not 100% enclosed? They're in these greenhouses?
They're 100% enclosed as far as what's around them. But okay. In order to, they have windows that open and close. And to regulate the heat inside of those greenhouses, they open them up. It's too hot. You can't have it too hot. You can't have it too cold. You can heat them naturally, but you can't really cool them down. So... if we just open the window, learn to deal with it. It's just pot.
But if you open a window and you have a filtration system at the exit points of these windows,
That's exactly what is necessary to control the odors coming out. And there's other. I mean, I cited the name of one company. There are others. There's plenty of odor capturing things. I mean, it's like living next to an oil refinery. You got to control the odor. It's not a burden. It is a burden if you want to just make money and you're not going to worry about what the community thinks. Heck with the community. I want my money and I want it now.
Now, in fairness, I've read in the paper, one of the bigger growers, does anyone, and I thought he was claiming that he has this system, and it's a very expensive system. Does anyone have this system running? Does it function? Is anyone doing the right thing?
Okay, those are two questions. Does anybody but him have them? Yes, lots of people have the filtration system. Do they turn it on? That's another issue. Because the odors are coming from somewhere. There's only a finite number of greenhouses in Carpinteria. So and the ones, it's embarrassing to even think that the high schoolers are sitting, and there's no possible way you're not sitting there smelling the pot. It's just not happening. I mean, it's less than 100 yards away.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And you mentioned monitoring, but short of someone standing there sniffing, I mean, it's not like smoke. It's not like radon where you can have a machine. Well, maybe you can. I mean, radon is invisible. You can have an electronic piece of equipment to detect radon. You can do the same with the odor of pot.
Yep.
My guest, Bart Merrill, he's a local attorney, Santa Barbara. He works with contractor disputes, mechanics liens, construction defects. He represents contractors, homeowners. Is that correct? Would you represent both sides?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of all hands on deck for construction disputes. And, you know, they go both ways. There's good contractors, there's bad ones. There's good homeowners, there's bad homeowners, and that don't want to pay for the services they get. And everybody needs an attorney, apparently.
Exactly. Bart Merrill, you can find him in Santa Barbara. His phone number, 80, can I give out the 965 number?
Yeah, go ahead.
805-965-4191. Bart Merrill, attorney here in Santa Barbara, lives in Carp. 805-965-4191. Goes by Barton C. Merrill. Thanks for coming on. I feel like it's frustrating because it seems fixable. And I met a guy who represents avocado growers, and you mentioned that in passing, but that's a whole other issue where there suddenly you've been cultivating avocados and using pesticides, and now you can't.
Well, the problem for them is if they use it, if they spray, and the spray gets on the marijuana, they're going to be defendant number one in a lawsuit because the marijuana growers can't sell their product now. So, you know, and Carpinteria, I mean, green gold used to mean avocados. Now it means marijuana. But the green gold industry, the original one out here, is still alive and well and having to deal with this problem throughout the entire valley, really.
Well, Bart, funny you should mention that, because my next segment, I'm going to talk about Texas gold, black tea, the sale of the home, the $150 million record-breaking sale in California that had the Beverly Hills mansion in the background. My guest has been attorney, or he still is attorney, Bart Merrill, out of Santa Barbara, and again, primarily working with contractors and contractor disputes and homeowners, but has got some clients in Carpinteria, and I want to track this with you. Keep me up to date, Bart. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it, Mark. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break, and we'll talk about the Beverly Hills Mansion and one in Arizona, both setting state records for the highest sales in the state, and for some reason, the former home of Mel Brooks.